Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He Himself has declared His infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me Thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is His glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because He delighteth in mercy. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to Him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, He has sought to reveal Himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent His love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of Him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that He may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14 verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4 verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God. It was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father, in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I think, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child.
face we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Bountiful Father above, we will offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you. Of the palm tree, I lift my hand. Tonight, we would like to welcome you once again as we prepare our hearts and our minds to come in fellowship and even listen to the Word of God. Tonight, I think Sister Powell, if you're on, I'm going to ask you to help me out with the hosting for tonight, and if you would please start us out with a word of prayer. Sister Powell, your line is open.
Let's pray. Oh, dear and kind, loving Father, this moment, dear Father, we come to you, thanking you for the things that you have done. First, we thank you for traveling mercies for our brothers and sisters who went to work. You brought them back home safely, and Lord, that's a blessing. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the showers of blessings that you have given some of us this evening, Lord, to cool down the land. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning, and we was in our right mind. And Lord, there is so many good things we can give you the praise and thank you for. This evening, we come before you, asking you to forgive each and every one of us on this prayer line this evening who are going to share your words. If there is anything, dear Lord, that we do that bring us not to you this moment, we ask you to forgive us. Continue to pour out your blessings upon this line. We lift up today every brothers and sister who will be sharing, and also the individual who will be presenting the message. We just lift them up to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for the prayer, Sister Powell, for opening up the line with us tonight. We are welcoming our brothers and sisters that are just now getting on. We are asking you if you are a first-time caller or a second-time caller or a caller that comes on every night. This is the part where we share with one another. So all you have to do in order to share a testimony or a prayer request or a song or even a scripture or a spirit of prophecy reading is by simply pushing 1 on your telephone keypad, and then we will open up your line so that you can share with us tonight. 225-733, your line is open. Can you please tell us your name and where you are calling from? 225-733, your line is open.
Hello, this is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I just want to thank God for a safe traveling mercy. We're just getting home, and I want to praise the Lord for blessing us today at the daycare and keeping the children safe. And I just want to praise the Lord for also for being with me and my children all day long, and thanking him also for this prayer line. And I just give God thanks for everything, and including my grandkids that are here with me. So I just want to praise God for everything that he is doing for us right now. Thank you. Amen.
Wow, our callers are definitely keeping it short tonight. We want to share scriptures and testimonies, brothers and sisters. So let us give God the praise and the thanks and the glory and honor that he deserves tonight by pushing number one. 857-258, your line is open. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from? 857-258, go ahead.
Hello, Brother Yudi. Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston. Brother Yudi, first of all, I like to thank God because he is worthy to be praised. I like to thank the Lord because God is an awesome God. He's a mighty God we serve, Brother Yudi. I like to thank God for my mother for everything he has done for us. And Brother Yudi, I like to thank the Lord for everything he has done for us. I like to thank God that Jesus died for us on the cross. Brothers and sisters, you have to press number one, only one time, just like Brother Yudi say. I have a prayer request, Brother Yudi. My prayer request today is to pray for my mother, lift up my mother in prayer, pray for me, lift me up in prayer, pray for Miss Perez, lift up Miss Perez in prayer, pray for Mr. Freddie, Brother Yuri, Sister Viviana, Sister Jennifer, Brother Nelson, lift all of them in the prayer, Brother Yudi, and pray for Miss Lucia, and Brother Yudi, I want to say to Mr. Fred, the prayer line is to share about your day, it's to share about your testimony. Give God the praise, Mr. Fred, because God is a mighty God, Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred, do not just listen. Just press number one. Only one time. You have to walk with faith in God. He knows what you are going through. Mr. Fred, God knows you are going through. God knows your desire. God knows who you are going through. Give him the praise. Give him the highest praise. The best praise, Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred, do not let the enemy hold you back because God will take care of it, Mr. Fred. What man what are you going through, Mr. Fred? You have to press number one, only one time. Share about your day. Share about your testimony because God is here. God has his holy angels watch over us. God has his holy angels watch over us. Mr. Fred, do not close your mouth. Give God the praise. Give God the highest praise. Mr. Fred, the enemy's a liar, Mr. Fred. The enemy's a liar. Do not let him touch you because God, there is a God, Mr. Fred. There is a God who could deliver you. There is a God who could deliver you from darkness. There is a God who could deliver you. Press number one. Only one time, Mr. Fred. Walk with faith in God. Give him the highest praise. And Miss Perez, you tell Miss Perez, give God the praise. Give God the highest praise. The best praise. Miss Perez, God knows your desire. God knows you are going through. God knows what you are going through. God is by your side, brothers and sisters. God is by your side. Give him the praise. Give him the highest praise. Mr. Fred, press number one. Just like Brother Yudi say, press number one. If you know on this prayer line, press number one. One time. If you know, Mr. Fred, press number one. Only one time. Walk with faith in God because God has a special plan for you. God will give you the victory. God will give you the victory. God will give you the victory in Jesus' name. And brother Yuri, I want Sister Power to pray for them right now. Can she pray for them right now, Brother Yudi? Brother Yudi, can you do the second prayer? Let Sister Power do the first prayer, and then you do the second prayer. Amen.
Amen, Brother Eli. Well, Brother Eli, we have some people that still would like to share. We will definitely lift up those prayers, Brother Eli, in a little bit. We don't have very long. It's already 45 after 8. And so we will then lift up those prayer requests, okay, very shortly. Sister Powell, if you want to continue, your line is open.
Okay. Brothers and sister, I will just share. You know, I'm calling from upstate New York, and today we have a blessed day. We have a heavy shower of rain, and that helped us to cool down the weather. I was doing some studying this morning, and I read Jude. I was reading Jude. And after I read this passage and look into the situation, especially in our churches right now, we know that it is our true church. There is no other church. But when we look at the things that is happening in our church, and when I read this passage, I just have to say, Lord, your words come to pass. We have seen that these things has been fulfilled. And it is telling us that Jude warned us against false teacher and leaders who reject the Lordship of Christ, undermine the faith of others, and lead them astray. These leaders and any who follow them will be punished. Jude also telling us about the apostasy. Jude also warns us against apostasy, turning away from Christ. We are to remember that God punishes rebellion against him. We must be careful not to drift from the faithful commitment of Christ. It's that those who do not seek to know the truth in God's word are susceptible to apostasy. Christian must guard against any false teaching that would distract them from the truth preached by the apostles and written in God's word. Jude is telling us that there is danger in false prophet. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and call mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saint. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to the condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God and lusciousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is just a letter Jude had wrote, and it was around in A.D., this in the 60s A.D. And Jude wrote that to tell us here right now that we who are looking forward for the second coming of God are to be careful of what we hear, what we listen to, and if we do not study God's word and know the word of God, that when these things have been presented to us, that we could able to defend ourselves. It also says, how do ordinary Christian contend for the faith today? Think about these ideas. He gave us some ideas what we must do, and we should all know these ideas. We can contend for the faith by knowing the truth. We do that by studying the Bible. Don't imagine that pastors and seminaries, professor, hold of monopoly on this task. Without studying, you cannot know what to defend. You must understand the basic doctrine of the faith so that you can recognize false doctrine and prevent wrong teaching from undermining your faith and hurting others. Second, we can contend for the faith as you grow personally with Christ. While knowledge is important, your personal relationship with Christ is essential. Through that relationship, God has given you the Holy Spirit as a teacher. We can contend for the faith by reminding unified on the essential. While Christians can certainly disagree on many non-essential things, and they stated these two things, music in worship, methods of worship, methods of outreach, we must always defend the truth of the basics of our faith as founded in God's word. Brothers and sisters, I will just stop at that, and this is from Jude 1 to around 5. This morning when I really was studying this, I just prayed and said, God, I thank you for the word that you have given unto us so many years ago, and now your words have been fulfilled, because we have seen this day by day that is happening and also creeping in your church, in our churches. So brothers and sisters, let us diligent, as we have got these little warning, let us continue to study the word, and we have to thank God that night upon night on this prayer line that we have been getting the word. And let us continue not to just listen to what the word is saying, whether here or anywhere else, but let us search the scripture and also the prophecy. So my prayer tonight is for us to continue to ask God to guide us so that we can study the word and that we can know the truth, that there will be no one to tempt us. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is what I just share. And if there is anyone else who is on the line who would like to share, can you press number one and the line will be open? Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Sister Powell. That is a very prophetic chapter in the Bible. I would recommend everyone to read it. It's almost like a prerequisite before Revelation. It's the book of Jude right before Revelation. And it talks about what we would see in the last days, and even talks about how there would be mockers. People would be mocking the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. And I see that every day, even where I work. We have 504-3943. Your line is open. And again, we are encouraging all of our brothers and sisters to push number one tonight, so you can share about your day and your testimony. 504-943, go ahead.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. My name is Rosemarie Woods. I'm calling from downtown New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm just praising the Lord. I'm just thanking the Lord in my heart and mind. But now I can say our war. This truly is a blessing from the Lord. And I just thank him and I praise him during the day how he truly blessed his prayer line. I just thank God for all the people that get on here. Brother John, Sister Leola's sister, and others get on here night after night praising the Lord. And Brother Udi and Sister Powell and Sister Brother Eli, how he prayed for all their family members and his friend and Sister Leola and them. And also, I'd be asking people to join the prayer line, but I know the Holy Spirit got to move them. I can't. All I can do is just ask, and I just keep on praying that one day they will find their way to the prayer line before it is too late. God is certainly a good God. I just thank him, and I just praise his name, even though it's bad weather here. It's been a hot day here, but through it all, God knows exactly what we need. He's the one that in control of everything. So I just want to give God the praise. I just want to thank him, and I thank him for my children, and I thank him for my little grandbaby that is here this summer with me. She made sure Granny is taken care of by coming in and asking me and praying for me. And I just thank the Lord for that. And I just ask you all to continue to pray for me, pray for my family, pray for this prayer line, pray for my neighbors, pray for the church members, because we are living, we can see that we're living in the time of Laodicea. We, me and my cousin were talking this afternoon. We just don't have no moral standing. And we were saying that how, even though I witnessed to her, she know about the disciples and all like that, but she's still in the Baptist church. But she was saying how people come to church dressed. Don't even cover their bodies up. And we know this is all the sign of the end of the time. And we just have to pray and keep on loving one another and ask the Lord to change their heart and mind. So, sisters and brothers, without further ado, I just thank you all for the prayers. I thank you for everything. I thank you for this prayer line. And I'm praying for the camp meeting that's going to take place in a little while in upstate New York, and others will, that people will come out and they will have a good time in serving the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And indeed, we're not only seeing that standards are being lowered in the Baptist churches, but unfortunately, you know, we see that even in our churches. We see now how people are dressed. And, you know, it's a testimony to the fact that dress reform is needed in these last days. We see how, you know, I heard a pastor preach a message. I just have to say this. And, you know what he said when he was preaching? He said, how come as the time goes by, the women who are supposed to be precious, women who are supposed to be, holy and even different, women that are supposed to respect their bodies. He says, how come as time goes by, you know, you see men, it seems like men, their dress collars are going up higher and higher every week or every year. You know, they wear ties and so on and so forth. But when it comes to women, you see that the dress collars are coming lower and lower. And we have to ask ourselves, and even not just the skirts too. In the wintertime or, you know, even, you know, when it's cold out in the fall, men are all covered up and bundled up, but it seems like women, they're wearing, you know, these clothing that are revealing to the point where, you know, a lot of them are freezing to death. And when he said that, I really thought about it. I said, you know what, he's right. As the year goes by, it seems like the clothing for women are getting less and less, but for men, it stays about the same. You know, men generally have on, you know, pants, long pants, and or a suit, and, you know, their tie is all the way up to their neck, so they're covered. But the women, it seems to be, you know, lower and lower and lower. Have you ever thought about that? I thought it was interesting the way that pastor had said it, and I said, you know what, that is so true. But we need to be examples. We need to represent Christ wheresoever we go, because if, brothers and sisters, you know, we are not, we don't look different. If we're not different, then, you know, we really are going to be just like the world. And the Bible has called us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so we need to remember that. And so I'm going to continue. If there's anyone else at this time that would like to share with us, push number one and your line will be open. And, you know, you can give us a prayer request. There's no need to be shy. There's no need to worry about anybody who's going to be on here judging you, what you say. Just remember you are here for God and not for yourself, so you should not be worried about what people are going to think. And generally, no one's going to think anything bad of you here because we are all brothers and sisters on this line. So if there's anyone that would like to share, push number one, and your line will be open. All right. 987-518, your line is open. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from? 987-518, your line is open.
Hello, my name is Sister Carrie. I'm from Bronx, New York. This is actually my first time calling in, and so far I like to live here. What I wanted to say in regards to dress reform is that, you see, sometimes in the church, us girls, we wear long dresses and long skirts. But when it comes to the world, if you notice, you know, how they're dressing now, they're also wearing the same thing. So what differentiates us now is our fruit. And I just want to call all of us to actually, you know, be known for not what we don't do, but be known for what we do. When we see Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day, for example, what does he do? He goes into the church and he reads the scripture. He reads from Isaiah. And then in the evening time, he goes out and he heals people. So I just want to call us to, you know, just follow Jesus the way that's written in the Bible. And this is my prayer, and this is what I would like for you guys to pray for, that we could be known for what we do and not be known for what we don't do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Sister Carrie, for the first time, and we will continue to keep you in prayer, and I encourage you to continue to come on this line. All right, Sister Paul, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Is there anyone else who'd like to press number one? Can you press number one and the line will be open? And I will just continue to share a little statement as we were talking about dress reform. I know within ourselves that we have a standard. Every one of us have a standard. The Lord said we is a royal priesthood, we are peculiar people, holy nation, and we supposed to be different. And if we are supposed to be different, a peculiar people, God is there to guide us and to lead us and to let us know that on Sabbath morning, when each one, whether the older woman or the younger woman, is going in front of the Lord, they're going to the Lord, If they are thinking or even looking with a converted heart, they would know what to put on. Because when we put on these attire and we go in front of that mirror, we are looking in that mirror. And if we see how we look, we know if we have that converted heart, we wouldn't leave our home. So our prayer right now is not to condemn no one, but is for us to pray that God will convert our sisters, even our brothers too, because we find out what is happening there with even our brothers with these little tight-up stuff too. So we just have to pray that God really in this last hour touch our hearts so that we will able to represent him. He said to us that we should be like him. And if we be like him, we would be different. That is just a little that I comment about our dress reform. Is there anyone else would like to share? Can you press number one? And the line will be open.
Amen. And in the meantime, Sister Paul, I just want to make an announcement. We have the camp meeting coming up July the 11th through the 13th. I can't believe it's already the 25th. Next week is the 1st, so we just have another
Wow. Just another week left for this camp meeting. So we are encouraging everyone to please, if you have not given us your list, if you have not yet given us the definite that you're coming, to do so now by contacting me and letting me know, or Sister Powell, or Brother Serge, or you can call Sister Naomi, or just call 888-484-1248. Again, 888-484-1248. Is there anyone else that would like to share at this time? Please do so by pushing number 1, and your line will be open. If not, we will get into our prayer session, and then we will get into our message for tonight. Anyone else that would like to share, push 1, and your line will be open. We're going to go ahead and get into our prayer session before Brother Serge does the message for us for tonight. I'm going to ask if Sister Powell can go ahead and do our prayer, and then we will get into our message for tonight. Sister Powell, your line is open.
Let's pray. Who gives thanks to the Lord, for his mercies endure it forever. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to pour out your blessings upon your children. We want to thank you, and we want to welcome our first-time caller, Sister Carrie, who have called this evening, dear God. We ask you to pour out your blessings upon her, fill her with your sweet Holy Spirit, and allow her, dear God, that she will shine her light wherever she go, and ask you, Lord, to allow her to be on this line, not only tonight alone, but continue to call on this line. Father, this moment, dear Lord, we lift up all our requests to you. We lift up, dear Father, the requests of Brother Yudi. Continue, dear God, to use him so that he can present your word. Continue to allow him not to be discouraged, because there are times, dear Lord, as we have listened a while ago to the reading of Jude, dear God, where he had warned us from false teaching and false prophet, dear God, and that things that is creeping in, and even they are twisting the gospel message, dear Lord. Sometimes when they're preaching the real true message, they got attacked. But dear Father, we thank you for that warning, that we must not be afraid, because you are there to guide. So I'm asking you to lift him up, dear God. And also his mother, dear Father, his sister and his brother, and aunt who is in 80 at this time, who is sick, dear Father. You are the great physician. Father, we lift up to you tonight, dear Sister Leola. Thank you for traveling mercies. Thank you for her grandchildren that she has. Thank you for the daycare, that everything is running smoothly, Lord. We thank you for your blessings for them to travel, by giving them traveling mercies to and fro, dear Father. And Lord, as we have listened to Sister Leola, giving you thanks and praises for everything that you have done for her. Now, dear Lord, I lift up over the 40 name on her prayer list that she's lifting up to you. Heavenly Father, you know each name and the desire of each heart. So I'm asking you tonight to supply their needs according to your riches in glory. Father, we lift up to you at this time, Brother Eli. Brother Eli is calling upon you, dear Father, presenting his mother. He is presenting his mother, dear God, and also himself. He is also presenting on his list Martha. He is presenting Gabriella, Sarah, Dulcie, Yuri, Lisa's daughter, also Lucia's son, Francesca, Perez's mother, Perez's Stewart's daughter and Perez's son, Perez's husband, and he's also presented Brother Daniel, Viviana Rivera, Rivera family members, Jennifer and Jemsey. Lord, all these names he asks you night upon night, and asking you, Lord, to allow them to be obedient to your will, allowing them, dear God, when he prays and asking and crying out to you to allow them to enter on this prayer line so that they can hear and to hear your word, so that they can have a closer relationship with you. Lord, this evening, I present that list. I present Sister Rosemary Wood, dear Father, who is praying for Brother John, our father, for Brother John, and Sister Leola, praying for her grandchildren, her neighbor, praying for the prayer line and people in our church, and she also talk about the dress. Dear Father, Father, you are God, and Lord, we leave everything in your hands, so we lift up all these requests to you, dear Lord. We lift up Sister Carrie's request, dear Father, to allow us to follow you and look at your example, dear God, the things that you have done, so that we can do it just like you, dear Father. Tonight, dear Lord, we lift up the camp meeting where we just have a few weeks, Lord, and we are asking you, Lord, to be by our side. We ask you, Lord, to pour out your blessings upon everyone on this line so that we will be there, that we can join each other, so that we can have a mountaintop experience with you, dear God. So we ask you, Father, to help us, that everything we do, that we will bring honor and glory to your name. I lift up the prayer requests of all the silent requests, dear Father. You know their need. I lift up Sister Adele to you this moment, who had been trying her very best to be on the line, she would like to be on, not the line, dear Father, on the campground meeting. She would like to be there, and she's saying she's coming. But, dear Lord, we pray tonight that you will allow her to get someone to work for her Sunday so that she will be with us Friday, Saturday, and also Sunday. But if it is not your will, dear Lord, she promised that she will be coming, and she will be with us Saturday, but she has to leave to work, to go back to work Sunday. So, Father, you work it out for Sister Adele. Lord, we can depend upon you. And tonight, dear Lord, we present the speaker to you who will be presenting the word, dear Father. Allow the word that he present will be word coming straight from the throne room of grace. So, dear Father, tonight, I lift up all these various names, Lord, to you. And because I know, dear Father, and we all have that blessed assurance that you are in the most holy sanctuary right now, listening to these requests. And dear Father, as it come up to you as sweet smells, Lord, to you this moment, I'm asking you, Lord, to hear them and answer them according to your riches and glory. These are prayer with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for praying for us, Sister Powell, and for also partly hosting. We are going to get into our message for tonight. Brother Serge will be bringing the message. Brother Serge, your line is open.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. We want to thank the Lord for this opportunity that he gives us once more to be on the prayer line. We want to thank him for all his blessings, for protecting us, and for providing for us every single day. So tonight we will continue with our series, Let's Go Up. That's the theme of our series every Wednesday, Let's Go Up. And in this series we talk about the passion of Christ, how, and we started the story in the upper chamber where Jesus had his Last Supper. So this is where we are. And we're going to pick up with that story. And the title for our message tonight is The Way We Love. The Way We Love. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Our Lord, our Father, we want to thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be on the prayer line tonight as we have an important message to share. We ask you, Father, to please be with us. May your Holy Spirit enlighten us and help us to understand your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are with Jesus. We are with Jesus in the upper chamber. And last week we talked about having a meal with Jesus, where we sat down and shared the bread and the wine and all and what all these things represented. And we are still in the upper chamber after the meal. Jesus started to teach his disciples. Jesus knows that he's about to die. He only has a few hours left. So he decided to give his last messages to his disciples to strengthen their faith and also a few more instructions that can allow them to go through this crisis that was coming. So let's turn our Bible to John 13, verse 33 to 38. John 13, verse 33 to 38. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay my life down for your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. And I want you also to read John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep commandments. So Jesus is in this chamber and talking to the 11 disciples, because at that time, Judas had already left the room to go do what he had to do in the darkness. We will talk a little bit later in another message about Judas. And also in this message, we're going to skip we're not going to talk much about Peter, because I have another message on Peter that I will prepare. But right now, what I want you to focus on is on these words. A new commandment I give to you.
that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In John 14, verse 15, we saw that Jesus said, and if you love me, keep my commandment. So basically, Jesus is saying that I love you. I love you, my disciples. I love you. So because I love you, I'm expecting you to love me also, your Lord. I'm your Lord, and I'm expecting you to love me also. And he tells them that if you love me, the way that you're going to show that you love me is by loving others. So basically, we can see here two new commandments. Love the Lord your God and love other people, love your neighbors, which is basically the same teaching that we saw in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 35 to 41, inviting you to turn to Matthew 22, verse 34 to 41. And in the story, the people came, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were all surrounding Jesus, and they decided to test Jesus' knowledge. And they told Jesus, one of the chief, verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the question was, which one of the Ten Commandments is the greatest? We know the Ten Commandments that we found in Exodus 20. And they are expecting Jesus to say one of these ten. But Jesus didn't pick any of these ten. In fact, he says that, I'm going to tell you which one is the great. Love the Lord your God above everything else, and love your neighbor as yourself. People mistakenly think that these commandments are new, brand new. That was the first time they were ever written in the Bible. Although they are actually new, like Jesus said, that wasn't the first time they were written in the Bible. In the Old Testament, these laws were already given to love your neighbor as yourself and to love the God, the Lord your God with all your heart. These things are already written in the Old Testament. Jesus was only repeating, quoting from what is already written in the Old Testament when he said that. So why is Jesus talking about new commandments? Jesus was saying they were new because nobody was applying them. The people at the time, they weren't applying those two commandments. You know, it's just like when you buy a car. For example, last year I bought a car, and everywhere I go, when I go to church, and everybody was asking, "Is that your new car?" No, and I said, "Yes, it's my new car." I go to work, yes, is that a new car? Yes, it's my new car. But really, this car was actually made in 2010. This car was already on the road since 2010. But I wasn't driving it in 2010. I just have it. To me, it's a new car. But it's not fresh from the manufacturing plant. So it's the same thing with those two commandments. They were already there for a long time, for centuries, in the laws of Moses. But because nobody was applying them, really, they sounded new to the disciples and to the people who were listening. And Jesus put emphasis and says that these two, basically, they are the basis of the Ten Commandments. They are the foundation of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are based on love the Lord your God with all thy heart. And the last six commandments are based on love your neighbor as yourself. So these two commandments are the foundation of the Ten Commandments. Just like when you have a house, the house has a foundation, but you don't see the foundation of the house. What you see is the house. You see the nice house, and then you like it. But if your house doesn't have a good foundation, when there is trouble, earthquake or tsunami or things like that, your strong winds, your house will go down. This is why the foundation is the most important thing. Not what you see, not the nice rooms that you see. So these people, they were keeping the Ten Commandments that are like the house. The Jews, the Pharisees, they were keeping the Ten Commandments. So everybody sees that they are doing good. They don't commit adultery. They don't steal. So everybody in appearance, everybody sees that these people are good people. But yet the foundation, which is love, they didn't have this in their hearts. And the disciples, they were the same way. Because that's what they were taught. Keep the Ten Commandments regardless of whether you love your brothers or not. Keep the Sabbath regardless whether your heart, whether you truly love God in your heart or not. And I'm telling you, these issues, we are having them again in our church, where we see people coming so many times to church on Sabbath. They are keeping the Sabbath. They don't go to work. They don't go to school. And yet their heart is not with the Lord. Their conversations shows you that they have no interest in having a relationship with God. They are not in the church to spend time with God, to meet with their Lord, to meet with the one they love. And this is a big issue for Seventh-day Adventists. We have become just like the Pharisees. And we don't even realize that. We are always criticizing the Pharisees, when in fact we are just like them. Keeping the Ten Commandments, but neglecting those two. This reminds me of the story of the young ruler. The story of the young ruler that we found in Matthew 19. I'll read it quickly. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment." He said to him, "Which one?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. There are many lessons that we can draw from that story. But this is what's really going on here. This rich businessman, was raised in the church, knew what was right and what was wrong, knew about the Ten Commandments and kept all of them. But still, he feels that there's something missing in his life. He feels that even though he's trying to be the best person he can be, there's still something that's not right. So he went to Jesus and asked him what the issue was. And Jesus says that, and he asked Jesus, what can I do to go to heaven? And Jesus answered him, well, keep the commandments. He said, which one of the commandments? Well, love do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, don't lie on people. And said, yes, of course, I know these things. I do them. I have been doing these things since I was born. Am I good? Am I good now? Am I okay? I don't know. I've been doing these things, but I still don't feel right. I feel like there's something missing. And Jesus says, yeah, there's something missing. Love your neighbor as yours. How about you take all this money that you have and go help a few people out there? How about you go, the people who have no clothes, how about you go and clothe them? Those who can't pay their mortgage, their rent, how about you help pay for them so that they don't get kicked out of their houses? Those who are hungry, how about you go and feed them? Have a few soup kitchen here and there and feed these people. The rich man, got to text said, Jesus, if I do that, I'm gonna lose all my wealth. I mean, I'm a businessman. I only spend so I can have a return. I only invest in businesses so I can have a return. If I don't have a return, I'll lose everything that I have. And Jesus tell him, don't worry about your return, because you will have a return in heaven. And the rich, and this young ruler told Jesus, yeah, I can't do that. I can do that. I need something here in this life. And he turned his back and walked out. Walk away from Jesus. Walk away from eternal life. We are no different. As our love is as selfish as the love of this rich young ruler. So what is love anyway? I looked through the dictionary, and this is what I found. I found a few definitions of the word love, and I want to share about four of them with you. Love, what is love? Love is profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. It's a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. Nothing wrong with that definition. Nothing wrong with it, but I don't feel that it's complete in itself.
So, but it's a good start. The second definition is sexual passion or desire. Sexual passion or desire. I think that this is the most common definition that we have of this word, because in our generation today, every time we talk about love, whenever a man says to a woman, "I love you," or a woman says to a man, "I love you," basically it's mean, "I want to sleep with you." So this is the way that is going in our generation, which is, I mean, the definition itself is right, as long as you're doing it in the right condition. It's okay for a wife to have a sexual passion for her husband, and her husband a sexual desire for the wife. So it's okay when it's in the right context, but it's not okay in any other context. So this definition is not complete either. A third definition: feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or friend. It's a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection for someone else. So you are attached to the person you love. This is a pretty strong definition, right? Because really, one of the main components of love is the feeling that you have for other people. How do you feel about someone else? This is a very, very important aspect of love. But the feeling is not stable. Feeling changes. Feeling changes with circumstances. And this is what makes this definition weak. So love cannot just be a feeling. But we'll come back a little bit onto that. I want to read that other definition for you. Unselfish, loyal, or benevolent concern for the good of another. Love is an unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. Basically, love is something practical. Love is something that it's a concern that you have for the good of others. I think out of all the four definitions, that's the one I love the most, because this is the one that is practical, and this is the one that it's not just practical, but there's something tangible in it. All right, it's not perfect either, but it's something that requires an action. You know, you have to, when you're looking at this definition, basically, you want other people, the person that you love, to be doing good. You want something good for the person that you love. The person that, it's not just, you know, when talking about affection, for example, you see things like you are a shoulder for the person that you love. You are hugging and all this stuff, you know, to show love. But in this definition where it says that a concern for the good of others, you see that if the person is sick, you don't just come and sit down and cry with the person, but you're actually helping that person, you know. Maybe take the person to the doctor, maybe make a tea, you know, something like that that can help the person, not just sitting down and crying with them, you know. So you want the good for that person. And we all do that. We all do that. But unfortunately, we do that for some people. All these definitions, we apply them for some people. But to God, love is deeper than a feeling. Love is a principle.
Feeling changes with circumstances, but principles don't change with circumstances. You know, feeling, I love you. I love you. You're kind to me. You speak nice words to me. You are very concerned about my well-being. So I see that you love me, so I love you back. But if you curse at me, or, you know, if you curse at me, then circumstances changes. The situation changes. Then I don't love you again anymore. The love stopped there. Because this was just a feeling. But if it's a principle, whether the circumstances change, I still love you. So you can test at me. I still love you. This is what Sister White says. Actually, I think I'm going to leave the quotes for last. Principle of love. We all love. We all have this in us to love others. But we only love partly. We only love a certain group of people. And this is the issue. This is why, this is where I'm going with this message. The way we love. We love a certain group of people. Our family members, husbands, wives, kids, parents, you know, people who do good to us. These are the people that we tend to love. While Jesus wants us to love everybody. Jesus is 100% love. God is 100% love. And this is the way that he wants you and me to be. As I was preparing this message, I was meditating on myself, right? And because things that I'm preaching are messages that convict me first before I can present them to you. And I feel very convicted because I'm looking at my situation, and I'm thinking, okay, among all the people I know, maybe from the time I can remember, you know, from the time I was in school, my former classmates, the people from my former church, include my current church, the current people I'm working with, and all this stuff. I realized that if I have to consider all these people and see how many of them do I really love, how many of them I'm really concerned about, I realized that out of all these people, which are probably many hundreds, I probably love 5%. Maybe truly. Including family members and all this stuff. Probably 5%. And then I probably hate 1 or 2%. I don't really call it hate because I don't curse at nobody. I don't wish evil on people. But there are a few people that I can't stand. So I probably can't stand 1 or 2% of them. And the rest, I'm just indifferent. 93%, 94% of the people I know in my life, I'm indifferent to them. So I'm just putting myself out there. And yet, if I was to compare myself with other people, and if I was to compare myself to many of you on the line, I would say that I'm pretty good. Even with this bad record, I'm pretty good because I don't kill nobody. Many people, some of you here probably have just cursed at someone today. Somebody right now is plotting to kill someone else because he hates them. So if I'm comparing my current record, I am pretty good. Even if my 92% of indifference toward other people, I'm still pretty good compared to others. And this is why Jesus says not to compare yourself with other people. But when I take my record and I compare it to Jesus' record, Jesus was so much love that there was no room for hatred in his heart. Jesus was so much love, there was no room for indifference in his heart. And this is where he wants to take us, 100% love, so that people can curse at you, people can beat you up. You still love these people. That's what Jesus wants. As I was working on this sermon, I had an experience. Last Sunday, I went to work at 7 o'clock. My shift started at 7 p.m. last Sunday. And I went there. I was a few minutes late. So when I get to work, I talk to the other supervisor as usual, you know, having a casual conversation. And then, the previous supervisor, she left. And then so I carry on with my work. Everything went okay. And then yesterday morning, the director, yesterday morning, my shift ended at 7 o'clock a.m. My shift ended at 7 in the morning. So yesterday morning, as my shift ended, the director came to me and said, you know, Serge, do me a favor, you know. Next Sunday when you come on time. Come on time, because the other supervisor called me to complain that you came 11 minutes late. The supervisor called me and said that you came at 11 minutes after 7 and that her shift finished at 7 p.m. So please, just come on time next Sunday. I said, all right, no problem. But really, when I get in my car, I was so pissed off because of that. Because, you see, the problem is, my shift ended up, I've been on the job for over a year. This supervisor just came in a couple of months ago, less than 2 months. And she's already complaining because I came 11 minutes late. Well, my shift ended at 7 a.m., but I got nobody to, usually I don't get any relief until 7:30 or 7:45. Sometimes I don't even have nobody to relieve me. You know, a few times I see on the clock that it's 8 o'clock and I got nobody. And when I say I got nobody, it's not like the person called in or something like that. Just there was nobody scheduled at all to relieve me. So it's 8 o'clock, I don't see nobody showing up. I have to call the director and say, it's 8 o'clock. Who's coming to relieve me? You know? So and I never complained. For a year, this has been going on. And I never complain because people come and relieve me late. But this new supervisor, because I'm 11 minutes late, already complaining. So I was quite mad, you know, and all kind of thoughts started to come to my mind. And then I drove, I like to have a spot where I usually stop to kind of prepare my sermons because I can't concentrate on my sermons when I'm at home. So I stopped at my spot and to start working on the sermon, and then that's when it hit me. It's like, Serge, what are you thinking? Why all of a sudden, just because someone complained about you, you are having all these bad thoughts toward that person? You know, I was already wishing that she doesn't stay long on the job, you know. That's all you did? That's all she did? Just complain about you, and you're already losing your mind. And I realized how easy it is for you and me to stop loving our brothers, to stop loving those who offend us. This is not just my situation. This is your situation too. I know you'll be thinking the same thing that I was thinking at that time. And some of you will be even thinking even worse. I'm going to meet with that lady. I'm going to check. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. And I'm thinking how Jesus was. Jesus, he got slapped on the cheek. And he looked at the man and said, I mean, he didn't say it, but he looked at the man and said in his heart, I still love you and I forgive you. Jesus got slapped again. And he looked at the man. I love you. They tied his eyes and put a crown of thorns in his head and hit him with a stick on his head. And mock him and ask him, who hit you? And in Jesus' heart, the thought was, well, whoever hit me, I still love him and forgive him. They nail him on the cross. While they are nailing him, his only thought is, I love you and I forgive you. There was no room. Jesus was so much love, there was no room in his heart for hatred, for indifference, for cursing, for anger. What is wrong with you and me? What is wrong with us? For any little things, we lose our mind. For any little things, there's anger, resentment. I want to wrap up with those two quotes from Sister White. Love, the principle of action. When the heavenly principle of eternal love fills the heart, it will flow out to others. When love fills your heart, it will flow out to others. Because love is a principle of action and modifies the character, governs the impulses, controls the passions, subdues enmity, elevates and ennobles the affection. So when you have love in your heart, everything that you are doing is based on that love. And what happens is that your character is transformed. The way you used to talk is changed. The way you used to act is changed. Because everything that you are thinking is that, how can my words be a blessing and an encouragement for other people, anybody, whether they are good to me or they are bad to me. When you have love filling your heart, all the thing that you are doing, everything that you are doing, every little detail, is done in order to bless someone else, regardless of whether that person will say thank you or not. All of our impulses, all of our passions are controlled by this love. And there is no room for anger, no room for envy, no room for resentment in our hearts. Love, not an impulse, but a divine principle. And so I said it's not just a feeling, it's a principle. Supreme love for God and unselfish love for one another. This is the best gift that our Heavenly Father can bestow. This love is not an impulse, but a divine principle, a permanent power. The unconsecrated heart cannot originate or produce it. Only in the heart where Jesus reigns is it found. We love him because he first loved us. In the heart renewed by divine grace, love is the ruling principle of action. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love the Lord with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is how they will know that we are Christian. Not because of our denomination, not because we carry a Bible in our hands when we go to church, but because of how we speak, how we act toward other people. By the way that we show love to others, this is how they will know that we are truly. In this series, I think this is going to be the main theme of the whole series, because I don't know if we're going to have another message on love, but I know that's going to be at the basis of every single message, because the sacrifice of Jesus was done only because of love. Only because of his love. Only because he loved us that he could endure the thing that he endured. So this is going to be the basis of our series. I hope that you're not going to be tired of hearing that word. But most importantly, I hope that you and I, we're going to start working seriously on that love. We're going to press, and we're going to pray that God can fill our hearts with his love, because we can't do it by ourselves. We just can't. Start right now by praying the Lord. Our Lord, our Father, we want to thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for showing so much love toward us. Father, besides, in return, we know that we don't do anything good. We disobey your laws. We disrespect your and violate your commandment. We live the way we want, disregarding all the principles that you gave us. Put your name to shame before the world and before the Christians. And yet you still love us. You still do. Because your love for us is not based on the way that we act toward you, but because of who you are 100% love. So, Father, transform us to your image. May the same principles, the same may this same love be the basis, may dwell in our hearts as well. May we become 100% love, that no resentment, no anger dwells in our hearts. May we learn to forgive those who have offended us. May we forgive them right now. And may we be a blessing for everybody who come in contact with us, whether they are our good friends. So, Father, bless each one of us on this line. Bless those who are not here tonight. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon each one of us here. We pray you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Serge, for the message tonight, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. We welcome you back tomorrow night again as we continue with preparing for the final crisis. Have a good night, and God bless.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.